right. Today I thought I'd conclude my series on what's hanging on the tree. We've been doing this for a while now, but we get interrupted by guest speakers. And so we're finally getting down to that last part of what's hanging on the tree. And again, if you remember, I started that it's time, just a bit of this message is about self-evaluation. It's having a look at yourself and going, how am I going spiritually, all right? And so we can tell that by what's hanging on the tree. See, whatever you abide in, whatever you connect to, whatever you spend time focusing on, whatever you're listening to, that is what you will become like. You will wear the fruit of that connection, whatever it is. Whatever you connect to, whatever you abide in, whatever you partake of, you start to bear the fruit of that connection. That's why it's important to be around the right people. And if you're our parents here, it's a really good idea to try and get your children around the right people, all right? And don't say no to them, say yes to other children, all right? But it's about that because what they partake of, they eventually become like. See, an apple tree is called an apple tree because it has apples hanging on it, all right? This is why I'm not the dean of the Bible college. It's as deep as I get. An apple tree is called an apple tree. Why? Because it has apples hanging on it. It doesn't matter what it smells like. It doesn't matter what the tree looks like. It doesn't matter what the sign says on the tree. If it's got apples on it, it's an apple tree. And you and I are the same. We're identified like that because of our fruit. And if we're to say we are Jesus's, we belong to Jesus, we're abiding in that vine, if that's who we're a part of, then it only makes sense that there should be God fruit or Jesus fruit hanging on our lives. Because whatever you partake of, whatever you abide in, whatever you connect to, eventually you wear the fruit of that thing. So our fruit are important. Why? Because the Bible says that the world will know us by our fruits. People out there will look at them, yeah, he's a Christian. Why? Because they can see something different about our lives. It's the fruit we have. What we don't want is to have people go, yeah, he's a Christian. We want to have fruit on our trees, all right? In other words, we're bearing the fruit of God. So it's important that we bear fruit, number one, because the world's looking for answers and we can be a part of that, bringing them to Jesus. Number two is that that God views us through our fruit. He looks at us through our fruit. And it's very important. He gets excited when you and I bear fruit, spiritual fruit, God gets excited. We tend to think God gets excited because we use our gifts, you know? We go, wow, look at, oh, man, he's so good at that. I watch Aaron back here. He's so anointed when he plays guitar and the whole thing. And we get awesome job. And we should, but the point is God doesn't get overexcited because you use the gift that he gave you. Yeah. He goes, well, that's what I gave it to you for. And you've all got gifts. We've all got gifts and talents. There's natural gifts we were born with. And that's why we're in different jobs. We've got different ministries, different things. Then we have spiritual gifts when we get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. God's given us gifts. He doesn't get shocked that we've got them. He gave them to us. And you go, wow, I didn't know Mark could preach. Wow, I didn't know Aaron could write songs. He gave us gifts. So what excites God is not so much the gifts. He likes them when we use, don't get me wrong. He gave us gifts that they may be used. But what excites God is not our gifts, it's our fruit. Because he didn't give us our fruit, he expects us to grow our fruit. And the only way you can grow spiritual fruit is to have a deep, committed relationship with Jesus. In other words, our fruit are a testimony of the relationship we have with God. So that's why it excites God. That means if we're bearing fruit, he knows you and I are closer to him. So that excites God, because that's what we give to him. He gives us our gifts, but we give him our fruit. So it's important. And again, the only way to produce his fruit is to abide in him. It's not by striving. It's not by trying harder. I'll just try harder to be a good Christian. I'll just try harder to do that. I'll try harder to be patient. I'll try harder not to be angry. No, it's not about trying harder. It's about drawing closer. And as we draw closer, then we receive what we need to outwork and become the people he wants us to be. So what's hanging on your tree today? what's hanging on that tree? And today we're just going to look at some things, and I want you to just go, that's going pretty good, but actually, now you've come to say that, and I've lost it now. You're right there. And let's have a look at what we need to do to get that tree in harvest, in blossom, and fruitfulness. So let's identify, firstly, what godly fruit is. Galatians chapter 5. Now, God doesn't leave it up to our imagination. Well, what's fruit? What's godly fruit? He doesn't say, well, just whatever you think's good. No, he tells us, Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such, there is no law. In other words, these are the fruit that God looks at us through. So when he sees you blossoming in these fruit, he knows you're staying close to him. That's the point of it. And again, the world will know us by our fruit. So when they look at us as believers, they're looking, do they have these things? They got, man, joy, love. And so remember, a couple of weeks back, we started on love. And we talked about what love is. Love is motive and action, not just good intentions and not just actions. It's not just what we do. It's why we do what we do. So love is a combination of motive and action, the why and the what. The generosity was the only proof of love. The only way you can prove you love something is to give to it. Then we looked at joy, and we found out that joy is not a feeling. It's a spiritual force. The book of Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So joy is not just a happy feeling, though that includes happy feelings. Joy is strength. And I am convinced that if the enemy is going to attack a believer, he will first start to rob you of your joy. Why? Because joy is strength. And if you've got no strength, he can start to check you out on all the other things around your life. If he takes your joy, you become vulnerable. You lose your strength spiritually. So joy is a significant fruit of the Spirit. No joy, no strength. So joy is love overcoming. So let's have a look today at the rest of this crop. We're going to go through them just quickly, but again, to give you some real pieces of how this all works together. The first one is peace. And peace is love at rest. And if you look around the world today, from a medical perspective, you'll notice that depression, anxiety, these mental illnesses are a state or a real issue in society. And what peace does is brings us or finds a way to deal with those things. So peace is the opposite of worry. Peace is the opposite of stress. Peace is the opposite of fear. It's a soul at rest no matter what's happening around it. And you and I should have a sense of peace even though we're going through stuff, even though there's challenges and problems heading our way. See, peace is found not in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God. And you've got to hear that, because I know people are thinking, man, when I get through my problems, I'm going to find some peace. When there's nothing going wrong or I have challenge, man, I'm going to have peace then. To the day you die, you'll face problem after problem after problem. There'll be challenge after challenge. You'll have rest in between. Don't get me wrong. There'll be night. Oh, praise God. But then it will go on. To the end of days. And so just know that, all the way through, there's going to be problems and challenges. So if you're waiting to run out of problems and challenges before you get peace, you're going to be waiting a really long time. All right, so I just want to encourage you all this morning to feel good about the rest of your lives. But if you're trying to find peace because there's no problem, no, peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God in amidst our challenges and problems. So that's what peace is. Peace is not a result of what happens out here. Peace is a result of what's happening in here, no matter what's happening out there. It comes from abiding. It comes by knowing who he is. It comes by knowing who you are, knowing he's not going to let you down. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, we've got to get to a place in our relationship with God that we know God is on my side. And if he be for me, who can stand against me? It's no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The only way you can have peace in this anxious world, and be assured, the world out there is anxious. It's fearful of climatic conditions, economic situations, wars and rumors of wars. There's all the things that are going on in our planet. There is anxiety and unrest. What we need to do in the midst of all that is bring peace by the name of Jesus. And peace comes not by trying harder to be peaceful, but by abiding and getting closer to God. Today, is your soul full of peace or is it full of pieces? That's what's growing on the tree today. Abide, draw closer, love him, connect, and you'll start to have a peace rising up. No matter what's going on, a peace on the inside. Second thing is long suffering, all right? And it's not my favorite one. I like short suffering. That's my preference. Short suffering. But it didn't say that in the fruit of the Spirit. It said long suffering. And so long suffering is love not giving up. That's what long suffering is. This is what I call the tough nut fruit. It's the coconut of the bunch. It's just tough. It's the whole concept of God's plan that you and I endure to the end, that we don't give up. We don't get disappointed by somebody at church and leave the church. We don't go through a bad situation and give up with God. We don't get that prayer and didn't get answered, so it doesn't work sort of thing. No, this is a fruit of the Spirit that we're in to the end. Right throughout the Bible, it says things like this. Pray, not once, not twice, but until. Didn't we hear that this morning when Pastor Jake said we've been praying for that little girl and nothing seemed to have worked, and we kept praying, and that last prayer kicked that thing. So pray until. The Bible goes on and says, when you've done all else, it didn't say sit down, it says stand. When you've done everything you can, don't give up, stand. It says those who endure to the end shall be saved, not those who come for a month. It said, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So there's a real credence on long suffering. And it's important that you and I get this around our lives and understand this is a fruit of the Spirit. We're built to last. We're endure. It's an inspiring fruit. You know, it's the one every great movie is made around the fruit of long suffering. Who remembers the Rockies? The Rocky movies. Not the Rockies. No, more of you know the Rockies. You're not that young. Look, come on. This is the 10, this is not the 6 p.m. Do you know what the Rocky movies are? We'll pretend you're all young. You know, like, if you saw that movie through the 80s, it was a massive success, and it wasn't because of great script writing. Certainly wasn't great acting. Plot's pretty average. And even, you know, the whole lines, you know, all you got was, Adriana! I mean, there's nothing in it. The reason that movie was so successful, let me tell you, because at the end of the last fight, Rocky Sylvester Stallone was lying on the floor, looking like he's been through a car accident. And just when you're about to get up and go home and leave your seat, he starts to climb his way back up. And he gets to his feet and he breathes. That's what it was all about, long suffering. Any great movie, the whole thing of Lord of the Rings with Frodo and Sam was about long suffering. It went on for 3 hours a movie. Three times. It wasn't short suffering for those boys, it was long suffering. Everything, it's an inspiring fruit. It's Mother Teresa in India. Why? Because she just stayed the course. It's Paul the apostle when he gets beaten and whipped and thrown in jail over and over. Every time he walked into a major city, there was a sign, a banner over the main street that said, "Welcome to our jail." And yet he never gave up. Long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. We only fail when we don't get back up again. All right? We never fail because we fall over, we get taken down. Long suffering is a resurrection spirit. It's that ability to stand up again. Jesus was dead and finished, they thought, but he got back up again. A resurrection. Right. Jesus, didn't we kill him? I mean, hell was in. Didn't we kill him? Yeah, but he got back up again. Nothing upsets a graveyard more than a good resurrection. Yeah. And nothing upsets the spirit world more than when you should have stayed down and you didn't. And when you should have left, but you stayed. Nothing upsets the devil's plans is that we stay strong to the course. We're long suffering. We're prepared to put up with some things. When the enemy tries to take you out, but you kept going. When you went through hell and back, but you didn't give up on God. Look at Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the things we're going through, the things that you're going to partake of, the things you might not be going through now, the things you did go through, man, all those things are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God's got for you in the end. It's a spirit. It's a fruit of, you know, I'm in this. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I'd rather lose with Jesus than win with the devil. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is well able. I mean, they're going to be cast into a fire. They said, our God is well able to, get us through this fire. They said, you know what? Even if he doesn't, we're not bowing our knee to that God. Yeah. It's in. We're in. It's the fruit of long suffering, and it comes not by trying, but by abiding in the one that is. All right, the next fruit, kindness. Kindness. Kindness is love lifting up and encouraging. That's what kindness is. I mean, as believers, we should be kind. Just a thought. We shouldn't be angry believers. We shouldn't be people that are yelling at people. We should be really quite kind. Kindness is doing nice things for people. It's making sure good things happen. Yeah, it's like the cute fruit, like apple pie. I know it's not a fruit, but it's got apple in it. That's cute. All right, it's the cute fruit. It's kindness. Kindness is accepting even though you don't agree or that you're different to you or the people are different to you. You still accept. You can accept people without agreeing with them. That's kindness. Kindness is making sure that others feel special and welcome. It's forgiving people. It's making sure the right things happen. I think the world should see us through our kindness. I mean, you and I as believers can't be going around, man, road raging people. You know, getting up to people, rolling and throwing your Bible at their face. You can't cut people off in the parking lot. Imagine me if I did that. See, because I'm a pastor, man, I go to places all the time. Lots of people know me, but I don't know them. And I can't be seen telling off a checkup chick. I mean, I can't be getting angry at her. Because I cut somebody off, and I go, oh, they come to the church. No, I can't do that. I mean, I remember once being at the airport, and something beeped in my pocket. So I was standing there like this, and this girl was doing the wand. You might be here today. And she said, oh, by the way, Pastor Mark, there was a great message last Sunday. I'm going, I hope they don't find something, what they were looking for at the time. But I was in New Zealand a few years back. Lee and I were there in this very small New Zealand town. Never been there before. I will not pronounce the name because it's swearing. All right, it's a swearing town. And we're in this swearing town, and it's only small, and Lee was in the store looking at some things, and this person came up to me and said, are you Pastor Mark from City Point? I said, yes, I am. Wow, so good to meet you. We're chatting. He was so excited. And here I am thinking, yeah, I'm all right. Never been here before. This person knows me. I'm feeling pretty good about myself for a minute. Feeling that good that when Lee comes out of the store, I tell her. I said, I can't believe this. I'm in this swearing town, and I've never been here before, and this guy comes up, he recognized me. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And this is her response. She looks at me and says, that's good. I said, oh, why is that? She said, you'll never be able to have an affair. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. She said, you'll never be able to get away with anything because everybody, people know. Yes, oh, yeah, good point. So again, you come straight back down to where you were and move on. But the point being, it's kindness, it's encouraging. Kindness lifts people up, doesn't pull them down. Kindness forgives. It's not about being passive or weak, though. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we just stand up and just lay down and get. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a spirit of kindness around our lives to make sure that we're good. All right? So make sure that as believers, we're kind. Let the world see that, man, they're not the people that yell and scream. They're not the people that are rude and horrible. They're the people that are strong but kind. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Next one is goodness. Goodness is love being good and doing good. Acts 10 verse 38. I love this passage that describes Jesus. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and he went with power, but he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So yeah, he was powerful. He went around healing the sick. He went around casting out demons. He went around setting people free. But in that same passage as power is good. So he wasn't just powerful. He was good. He went around being good and doing good. He is a good God. You and I do not love God just because he's all powerful. Be assured of that. There are many people that worship gods that they think are all powerful, but they don't love them. They just know they're under threat if they don't do certain things. But we love God not because he's just powerful, but because he's a good God. He does good things. There's no way you would follow Jesus if he went down and healed the sick and cast out devils and then went over and knocked over a widow and stole a purse. That's not acceptable, except around, you know, our offering time, if you need extra money. But besides that, it's not acceptable to knock down widows and steal their purses. So you don't love God just because he's powerful. You love him because he's a good God. As a matter of fact, when he was, when they put him in jail, they sent him to Herod and they sent him back to Pilate and then to Herod again, or Herod Pilate. And the whole thing, that after all these days of trial and inquisition, this is what the Bible states about what they found. These people weren't believers, but in questioning Jesus at the end, this is what it was said about Jesus. No wrong thing could be found in him. No wrong thing. In other words, he is a good God. And you and I are meant to be people that are being good and doing good. It's not just sitting around. It's not dealing just with self. You know, and the world is countercultural because the world's about self, and yet the Bible talks about doing good for other people. So the fruit of the Spirit is that we're being good, but we're also doing good. Goodness is a fruit of our relationship with God. You don't do good because thou shalt do good. You don't do it out of the law. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. No, if you want the fruit of goodness, it comes out of not trying harder, but drawing closer to Jesus. You become a kinder, you become a person that sees good and does good, not because of a law perspective. Well, I better do that, I'm a Christian. Or I better read my Bible, No. That's not the plan of God at all. It comes out of abiding. Next one is faithfulness. Faithfulness is love producing harvest. Faithfulness is love producing harvest. I want you to hear that. Most people think that faithfulness is like a good Labrador dog. Just turns up, sits next to him. It's a faithful dog, you know. But the truth is, when the Bible speaks of faithful, what it's really saying to you is fruitful. I want you to hear that. Otherwise, you'll just think the concept of being faithful is just turning up. Just making sure that I'll just stick the marriage out. I'll just go to the kids' game. I'll just bitch. I mean, you know, look, I'm faithful. And faithfulness in that context always is a matter of just making it over the line. Well, praise God, I just got into heaven. But the Bible says, well done, good and faithful. What the Bible is actually saying is well done, good and fruitful servant. I want you to see that. That's important. Otherwise, you'll misread what God's expectations of us are and what the fruit of faithfulness really is. You see, Luke 16 verse 10 says this. It says, he who is faithful in least will also be faithful in much. It talks about harvest. In other words, it's about fruitfulness. Faithful in what's least, faithful also in is much. And who's unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. It talks about the sense of faithful producing a harvest. Remember the story in the Bible, the king turns up, gives one guy 5 talents, another guy 2, another guy 1, and they go and do their thing. And the guy that got 5 brings back another 5. He's got 10. What does the king say? He says, well done, good and faithful, doesn't he? He doesn't say fruitful, but what his meaning is, you can tell by why he says it, because he's faithful. Why? Not that he turned up with 5, that he turned up with 10, right? So it's not just turning up. It was that he had been given something and now he had doubled that and he'd come back and it's well done, good and faithful or fruitful servant. The guy with 2, same thing, comes back with 4. The king says, well done, good and faithful. Well, why was he faithful? Because he came back? No, because he had 2 more than what he was given. And in our world, as God looks at our life, he's given us natural gifts and he's given us spiritual gifts. And he doesn't want you just to turn up. He wants you to bring harvest. He wants you to use your gifts that lives may be changed. And every one of us has something we can bring to the table of God that was meant not just to have. And sure, you might be gifted in a certain area so you can make a great living, and God loves that. But a part of that gift was also for kingdom purposes. And if we use that right, we get faith. The guy that got given 1, he turns up with his 1, and the king does not say, well done, good and faithful servant. He says, you're a wicked servant. But why? Why? He didn't steal it. He didn't even break it. He brought it back to the king. Surely he's being faithful. Well, not according to the Bible. The Bible says he was not faithful because he wasn't fruitful. All right? It's a big difference between what faithful seems or appears to be and what God wants fruitful to be. And he says, man, you're a wicked and lazy servant. And he cast into outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. And you never want to go where there's gnashing of teeth. And why they put a G in front of that word, I can't tell you. But it was about fruitfulness. So we understand the fruit of faithfulness is not that we just show up, it's that we're making a difference. Fruitful, increased harvest. And all fruitfulness and harvest comes from is heaven. And they don't come from trying harder, they come from drawing closer. Is this helping anybody this morning? I want you to see what God's seeing us through so we get a perspective of our spiritual walk. The next thing is gentleness. And gentleness is love not having to prove a thing. Gentleness is love not having to prove a thing. Gentleness comes out of being very confident in who you are and who you belong to. You don't have to prove anything as a believer. You know, when you first maybe become saved and now you're trying to be like other people. When I first went into ministry, I was thinking, man, I'm insecure and I tried to be like other ministry gifts, you know, like, you know, well, if I could just be like him, if I could just preach like him, if I had the power like him. But you're insecure and you don't have that spirit of gentleness. When people are bullies and they're angry, what they have is insecurity around their lives. That's all it is. That's what bullying is. That's what insecurity is. It just comes out in a fight mentality. And eventually you're gonna find out to be comfortable about who you are and whose you are belong to. And when you're comfortable, you don't have to prove anything anymore. I remember we had ministry gift, and man, he had a power gift on his life, hey? Man, he would, meetings like this, people stand and he would say, run to the front, God's gonna do something. And as they're running, he'd point to them and the power of God would just knock them over in the aisleways. I mean, just powerful, powerful gift. You just sit there going, what was that? So I thought I'd be that person. I thought I'd be that ministry gift. So I'm there and preaching and I remember, that, come, God's, run to the front. God's gonna do something powerful. I was, you know, ready for it. And I'm going, as I pointing to him, I'm believing right now that the power of God's gonna knock him down right where he stands and running. He ran down the aisle, up past me, I had to tell him to stop. At the end of the day, you've got to be confident in who you are and whose you are. And then you can be gentle. Do not think that gentleness is a sign of weakness. As a matter of fact, I think the gentlest people are the strongest people because they're not proving anything. They know who they are. It's like having a really powerful car. And when the lights turn green, you don't have to prove a thing. And I mean, it's that spirit of gentleness that God wants to see in our lives. It's a very powerful thing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. You listening, Joel? Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So all of us need to submit to one another, listen to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. He doesn't resist the humble or the gentle. He resists the proud. And I don't know about you, but of all the people I want resisting me, I don't want one of them to be God. You don't want God resisting you because you're proud or insecure or not gentle or trying to be somebody, trying to prove something. But if you know who you are and who you belong to, you know you got the strength of heaven with you and you can be gentle. Man, it might be strong answers, but with a gentle spirit. Strong action, but with a gentle spirit. Let that be your response to life. Gentleness, not a reaction to life, like a nuclear reaction. In other words, we need to make sure we've got the spirit of gentleness around our lives. And the last one this morning is self-control. self-control is love in control. And it's a really funny one. It's about patience. It's about restraint. It's about careful in conduct. And it's one of those things that we think's really hard, and it is to a degree, but again, it's not by trying harder to be self-controlled. What you need to do is get more closer to God. If you want self-control, you know, because you can be self-controlled. I remember speaking to a guy once and he swears, man, he swears so bad. And I said, why do you swear so bad? You know, he was talking about that town in New Zealand a lot. And he said, I can't help it. I can't stop. I said, you can. He said, no, I can't. I said, I've got a really big guy in my church. And if I put him next to you and every time you swear, he punches you in the face, I reckon you'll give up swearing after one punch. So it's not as though we can't have self-control. It's that we can find self-control. Look what it says in the Bible. Let's see how we find self-control. Scripture, yeah, 2 Corinthians. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, all right? They're not swords and spears and Uzis that was found out just north of Brisbane, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here it's saying the way to have self-control is not to try harder, but it's to start casting down everything that opposes what God says to be true. It's standing against those things and then bringing every thought that we have into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, putting it through the mixer of what Jesus says about it. So self-control doesn't come out of, I'm just going to be more controlled. It comes out of leaning into Him and understanding the power that we have in His ability. And if we understand the power we have in His ability, we don't have to try harder. We just draw closer. Yeah. It's not about striving. It's about abiding. We're going to, the boys here, and they're from the council, obviously, are going to cut through this bit of wood. Now, they can try to cut through this in their own strength. And they can try harder if they want. I mean, it doesn't matter how hard they try, they're not going to get through that thing. And it's the same with you and I. We can try harder, but the results of who we want to be are not going to come because we try harder. They're going to come through what we plug into. So right now, if we plug this together like this, it's not about trying harder, it's not about working harder, it's about being connected or plugging into or abiding in the thing that has the power so we can get the power. So if you want to cut a bit of wood, this is a much easier way. Just like that. No sweat, no trying, no bruises. If you're in the last service, that wood was a lot longer. And and we were trying to prove that by trying harder, you can't do it. So Adam decided to sit in the middle of that block of wood and it snapped in two. So it wrecked my whole scenario. And he fell to the floor. He just told me he does have a splinter somewhere. And so, which worked really well. I wasn't prepared for that. That wasn't the plan. But understanding, I said, well, if you do try hard enough, you can get some breakthrough. It just doesn't last long and it's quite painful. So the point being, it's much easier to abide or connect. If you want to outwork the power of something, you connect into where the power is. If you want to be good, if you want to bear fruit as a believer, then it's about not trying, it's about connecting to the one that has the power to bring you good. And if we abide, it's not about striving, it's about abiding. It's about drawing closer, not trying harder. Your answer comes by plugging your world into Jesus. So today, maybe as I've spoken, you're going, you know what? Man, peace is good. Man, that long-suffering thing's not speaking to me. You know, maybe there's some things you need to go, you know what? Maybe I need to get back into the Word about these things. Maybe I need to go back into the prayer closet and say, God, fill me again fresh with your Spirit. Maybe it's time to just come to the worship night tonight and just lift it all up and go, here I am. God, just do what you need to do. Whatever it is, what you're after, what you need, it's not going to come because you want it. It's because you plugged in to that can bring it to you tonight, today. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads today?